reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found on page 769. And we read Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, found on page 1257. And we read Philippians 3, beginning at verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1125, and we read Luke 20, beginning at verse 9. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants, and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours. They threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where Jesus tells a parable about a man who planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants. This is our text. You know, from early on in our lives, ownership is an important thing to us. Remember back when my first son was very little, you could see it even then. He was sitting in a playpen with another member's child around the same age. He was maybe 7, 8 months old. They both had pacifiers in their mouth. And after they stare at each other for a few minutes, suddenly they both reach out their hands because they had to have the other child's pacifier as well, and they pulled them out of each other's mouths. I was reminded of this just the other day because my two grandchildren were in the same playpen just this last week, and I had shared this story with my daughters-in-law, and sure enough, they repeated the act. 7, 8 months old, 9 months. We gotta have it. It has to be mine. And of course, that continues on throughout our childhood and into adulthood. If you had a sibling, you probably remember battles about my stuff and your junk. See, not everybody's stuff is stuff. It's my stuff, it's your junk. And get your stuff or your junk out of my room. Or you stay out of my room. This is mine. Ownership is just so important. Remember that feeling you had when you bought your first car? Some of you haven't had that feeling yet, but eventually you will. Or how about when you bought your first house? By ownership. It's just so great. Except for the fact that with ownership, there sometimes come some things that we don't really want. I had a friend a couple of years back whose home is in a very high area compared to his neighbor. And he has this tremendous wall of limestone and runs up some 15 feet high that keeps the dirt from his yard from swallowing up the garage of the next door neighbor. He always kind of thought it was his wall. And then one day the wall showed signs of moving. And the neighbor said, you better get that wall of yours fixed because it would be landing in his yard if it collapsed. And he got a bid for fixing that wall, and it was in the tens of thousands of dollars. And you know what? Suddenly ownership didn't sound that good. Now, thankfully, the building inspector came out and said, no, that's not your wall, that's his wall. And that owner really didn't want to be the owner of that wall. And, of course, he did get it fixed, but wasn't happy about it. Yeah, when things break, suddenly ownership isn't that great a thing. That's why it's nice to rent, you know, because something breaks. It's not your problem. Well, you know, you got to get the owner to fix it, but they're the ones that got to pay the price. But they also have expectations. And so it is with our God. Our God claims ownership of everything. From the cattle on the hills to the stars in the sky. To even our own bodies, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we need to treat our bodies well because we were bought with a price. Our bodies aren't our own. They are temple of God. In our parable, the owner of the vineyard is a gracious owner. It's a small point, but you might note that when he sends his servants to make a collection, it doesn't say that he wants all of it. He just wants some of it. He wants his people working the vineyard to have something to take care of themselves as well as does our God. He put things under our control. But not to serve ourselves. Yes, he wants to provide for us, to care for us. But he retains the ownership, and he determines how things are to be used, not just for our own selfish purposes. He provides for us so that we can provide for others. He gives us our daily bread, but so that we can be strong in service to his kingdom. And it is his kingdom that we are to seek first in everything we do, because it's all his. And that also includes our sins. It's not made real clear in this particular parable we have. But when God sent his Son into this world, it was so that he could own our sins as well. Paid for with the blood of Christ himself on the cross. He owns them. And isn't that what you want? Yeah, it's great owning things if they're not broken. But when our lives are broken, when the payment for sin is so great that there's no way we can ever fix it or repair it or pay for the damage that has done, that's when we thank God. We're not owners. And even when we break it intentionally, even when we have to go to our God and confess the things we have willfully done, the payment is still made. We see that so most clearly on the day our Lord was crucified. The very people pounding nails into his hand and in his feet. The people who had earlier marked his back with whips. What does he say as he's lifted up on that cross? His first words are, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Yes, God owns our sins. But that ownership does have implications for our lives. One of the places we see that is every time we're saying that Lord's Prayer, "Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You know, when we speak those words, it's more than just, "Well, you did something nice for me. I should do something nice for somebody else." Those real words are really an acknowledgement of God's ownership, not just of our sins, but the sins of the whole world. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't just pay for what you do. He paid for what other people do, even when they do it against you. All debts in Jesus Christ are paid for. And so if you want God to own your sins, you also have to recognize he owns other people's sins as well. You want to own somebody's sins? You want to say they're not forgiven? Fine. But you're not only going to own that other person's sin, you're going to own your own as well. It's rather interesting how ownership figures also into our epistle lesson for today. When Paul's talking about his own righteousness and all, if you will, the stuff that he has. Remember, we had that interesting distinction between stuff and junk. Listen again to the words of the Apostle Paul. "For whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish," junk, "in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Paul didn't care what he owned. It's all a bunch of junk compared with what God gives to us and owns. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Not because we have bought and paid for it, because he has bought and paid for it. Ownership. Our sinful nature really thinks it's such a great thing, but it really isn't. What we thank God for is that he made us, he owns us, and even owns our sins through our Savior Jesus Christ. May God grant that we recognize that ownership each and every day of our lives in all that we do. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.